Welcome to the Life Together Podcast, a place where we unpack the connections between our faith and how it influences the way we live our daily lives. I'm your host, Bob Hickman, pastor for Michigan Outreach at Calvary Lutheran Church in Clarkston, Michigan, as well as development pastor for our campus in Japan. Each episode offers perspectives of different pathways of living out our faith through our daily lives. Words that has multiple meanings and uses. When I watch my oldest son launch a hit deep into left center field, I often think, that was a thing of beauty. When I witness my daughter being courageous and confident in the midst of whatever she's facing, it is a thing of beauty to witness. When I watch my youngest son get so excited about a project he's working on, or a baking project that he's undertaken, it is a thing of beauty. When I see families stop at our little library, located on the corner of my house, and they choose new books to get lost in, it is a thing of beauty. When on the rare occasion I get to travel up to northern Michigan for rest and relaxation, I often think, wow, this is truly a place of beauty. When I see my face in the mirror, and realize that for certain that I have a face made for podcasting, I think beauty certainly is in the eye of the beholder. As I prepared my list of a few things that I witness that are things of beauty, I wonder what experiences of beauty are on the lists of you, our listeners. Where do you see beauty in the world? Where does it strike you most? What things that you see and hear and experience would you classify as things of beauty? I ask these questions for a few reasons. The first reason I ask is because when I was assigning things that I have seen that remind me of beauty, I wondered if those were the thoughts I had in the moment rather than while I was recalling them after the fact. Sometimes I worry that I don't spend enough intentional time during my day acknowledging the beauty that surrounds me and that I'm privileged to see and experience. If you are like me, you tend to live your life at warp speed. Even as we inch out of pandemic times, I find myself reverting back to the busyness that I told myself I wouldn't engage in again. And perhaps the end result is that I'm not taking the time or being intentional about seeing all the beauty that surrounds me each and every day. That brings me to the second reason. I wonder how many of us, if we're honest, take time out of our lives to better yet realize in the moment the beautiful things that we are privileged to experience on a daily basis. Is it only at the times where we reflect back that we recognize the beauty that surrounds us? Do we take moments to recognize beauty, which can be a way to restore our souls? The 23rd Psalm talks about the importance of slowing down and seeing the beauty that is around us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. I think God wants us, from time to time, to hit the pause button, to be still, to lie down in green pastures, to be led to and calmed by the tranquil nature of waters, to have our souls restored by the beauty that is around us. Luke invites us to consider the lilies and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. One of the things that I have recently noticed and come to deeply appreciate is the heightened beauty that surrounds the campus of Calvary in Clarkston. The fresh-cut grass, the meticulously shaped and placed bushes and flower boxes, the addition of flowers around the trees. If you had not had a chance to experience it yet, drive by or pay special attention the next time you come to Calvary for worship, a servant opportunity, or event. The property of Calvary is indeed awash with beauty. One of the things that most church gurus would tell you is that when someone's seeking out a new church, a place to find spiritual refuge and recharge, one of the things that they notice is the condition and attention paid to the care of the church building and the grounds, whether the spaces are tended to or in need of attention. The thought process is that people might wonder when they arrive at a campus and see either version, the ones that have been cared for and the ones whose care may have slipped through the cracks, and they think if this is how they pay attention and keep up to the building and grounds that God has provided for them, how will they care for me? I realize that individual situations are not as simple as that, and there are situations where the care piece may not be true. But at Calvary, the message is clear and true. I can tell you that I give thanks to God for the intentionality that Doug, the head of facilities and grounds at Calvary, and his various crews, including my two boys, have taken to add beauty to the grounds that surround Calvary's Clarkston campus. It is a sight to behold. What has been created, reimagined, and put forth is truly a thing of beauty. So, my friends, I hope you will join me in taking the time to see all of the beauty that God has provided for us. I hope that you will drink it in and let it rejuvenate you and help you feed your soul. The beauty of God is all around us. Remember to hit the pause button from time to time and really experience it, or you might miss it. Or better yet, attend one of our weekly worship experiences, either in person or online. It's now time for the Talk to the Hand section, and we have a guest today in Talk to the Hand. It's Doug Scoville, the facilities manager at Calvary. And Doug, welcome to Link Together Podcast. Thank you for being willing to be interviewed.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me do that.
So one of the things we like to start off with each interview is to ask the person to just share a little bit, give us a little glimpse of your story as to, you know, how you became a person of faith.
Well, I'm going to say it's not a dramatic story. There's not a bolt of lightning or a sudden inspiration. I think my faith story just starts because I was fortunate enough to have parents who brought me up from the moment I was born to be surrounded by faith and in church and those kind of lessons. So I just grew up with it. It became a part of a part of me the same way as learning to get dressed and learning my colors and ABCs. So sometimes I suppose that could lead later in life to wondering if is there more, or did I miss something, or why didn't I get that big jolt or something? But it's worked for me.
Excellent. And, you know, slow and steady wins the race. It's the tortoise who wins the race, not the hare. So just making investments over time, I think, really helps to strengthen and deepen our faith. So in what specific ways do you see your faith affect the way that you live your daily life? It could be at work. It could be in your home life, with your friends or family. How do you see your faith affect the way you live your daily life?
I've never been the type of person who was good at kind of in-your-face direct evangelism. More of a try, at least, to teach or show by example. So I don't know if it's obvious to anyone that I'm trying to demonstrate my faith at work and at home, but hopefully there's some positive outcome from that. I try to demonstrate at least all the kinds of lessons that that Christ teaches us: kindness, and grace, and compassion, and how well that comes across, I don't know, but that's more my style.
Excellent. So you, in other words, you sort of walk what you talk. You know, you walk the walk that you talk.
I hope to. We all fall short at times, of course, but that's the way I'm trying to live my faith.
All right. Good. So who are some of the people that impacted your faith walk? You know, those people who sort of modeled their faith through how they led their lives, and what parts of what you witnessed from them as they modeled their faith life became part of how you live out your life of faith today?
Ooh, that's a great question. All of us are impacted as we make our way through our lives. We're impacted by the people around us, whether it's someone when we were young in Sunday school or family members. But there really was one person that stands out in my faith journey. His name was Carl Staser, and he was the minister at the first church that I attended on my own after college, and not with my parents. My first job away from home, and I found a church and just kind of wandered through the door and was blessed to have met this person. We just hit it off in a way that was, it became deeper than just a pastor and a member of the congregation. We became close friends, and it lasted for 30 some years. And he had a, I'm going to call it a quietly forceful way of living Christ's teaching. I think he was, before there were bracelets that said, "What would Jesus do?" I think he was the original person who just made you think of that. He could lead a group of people without you realizing you were being led, and just an amazing person.
Yeah, it's a powerful witness. In 30 years, it's a long time. What are some areas of your life that you wish reflected more of your faith or the person that you are to those people that you encounter? What do you wish you could get better at or could refine more of how you live your life of faith for those people that you meet?
Well, it's probably going to end up back on the same topic from an earlier question, that I've never naturally been good at direct evangelizing or speaking to people about my faith or witnessing what I believe. And I used to spend a lot of time wishing I could be better at that. But I think I've finally become comfortable with the fact that that's not one of my gifts. And I just have to go back to what I hope I'm good at, which is leading a life where people will notice and say, I wonder why he does that. And so I think I'm over wishing I had a different way of doing it. I think I've finally lived long enough to be comfortable with that.
Sure. Lead with what you feel comfortable, what you feel like you're good at. So, what advice would you give to somebody, you know, that you would meet, or that someone who might ask you, they want to live their life of faith. They want to live their faith through their life, but they're not sure where to begin. You know, what sort of advice would you give them?
I think I would say to someone in that spot, identify your role models. Find some heroes, maybe some from the Bible, some from more recent history. But also, I think I would suggest including in that list of people that you look up to, some living people that you can talk to. Role models from the Bible are important, but it's harder to ask them questions about how they do it. So just as I ended up being fortunate enough to have a mentor, a person to talk to over the years, so find these role models and think about why you are drawn to their story and what things about them you might want to imitate, and then if it's someone that you can sit down and talk to about it, it gives you a better chance at succeeding.
Great. So, you know, one of the ways that all the church experts would say that people feel welcomed when they're visiting a congregation for the first time is the condition of the grounds in the building. And you're the facilities person here at Calvary, and you really do a fantastic job. And I've certainly been awed by the way that I've seen the grounds, the physical grounds, you know, sort of reimagined under your tutelage, all the way from the boys and I offloading some dirt for you to just the way that you've sort of designed this very welcoming, very beautiful space. So I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about some of the things that you've done, and if there's some help that you need, you know, how people could, you know, help you out as you continue to make the grounds beautiful. Because when people come to a place like a church, if it's in disarray, whether it be the, you know, inside of the building or the grounds, you know, when it's in disarray or it's maybe not in proper order, people tend to think, well, if this is how they take care of what God's entrusted them with in the building and the grounds, well, how are they going to take care of me? And I think that one of the ways that you sort of, through your actions, send a powerful message is that this is how we care for the grounds here. And I'm pretty sure this is how you're going to be cared for, you know, as you become part of the community of faith. So talk to us a little bit about what you've been doing and if there's anything that people can do to help or support you in that. But it just looks beautiful, and I just commend you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing the things we've been working on. When the building was added onto, there was a plan for grounds and landscaping, but it kind of got set aside, postponed until later, and now it's been a good time to catch up on that. So I've been entrusted with working on that. And during COVID, when we wanted to create a separate main entrance, then we put in a sidewalk, we added some brick areas, and hopefully there'll be a shade arbor built over that, and it will become a possible meeting place. And then all these additional areas have created opportunities for some gardening. I love to plant things and grow things and let God's beauty show through that way. So even the islands in the parking lot can become a beautiful showplace instead of decorated with rocks. So anyway, we've got lots more plans, and anyone can just contact me if they like digging, if they like spreading mulch or whatever. There are jobs I could always use some help with that. I've had plenty of help already in the things we've accomplished, but I agree with you that it's awesome to create a beautiful exterior that sets up expectations on people's way to the interior of the building. So thank you.
Great. Well, Doug, I just want to thank you again. I really appreciate that your willingness to sit and talk to the hand chair. It's probably, hopefully it was a good experience, and this podcast will come out shortly. So again, thanks so much for your willingness to share a little bit about your faith story, because I know people are going to be interested to hear what you have to say. So thanks, Doug.
You're welcome.
Current outreach opportunities at Calvary Lutheran Church. Foster Care Starter Kits Collection. We are joining our partner Samaritas in an effort to support at-risk young adults aged 16 to 21 who are aging out of the foster care system. We are collecting new items needed to assemble starter kits that are given to youth as they enter Independent Living Plus homes. The starter kits include twin comforter set, including twin sheets, pillowcases, and a blanket in neutral colors, toothpaste and toothbrush, shampoo and conditioner, body wash, deodorant, snacks, and bottled water. Other items include a tabletop mirror, a chalkboard, letterboard, lamp, etc. Please bring the items to Calvary's Clarkston campus, 6805 Bluegrass Drive, on Sundays between the hours of 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. throughout the month of May. We continue our partnership with Lighthouse of Oakland County to distribute boxes with 35 pounds of non-perishable items to our neighbors and local agencies Wednesday mornings at our Clarkston campus. The boxes are distributed between 9 and noon to individual families and local organizations that drive through for curbside pickup. If you would like to be part of this amazing serving opportunity, you can sign up at Calvary's website, calvaryinfo.org. The Baldwin Center currently serves between 12 and 1,500 sandwiches per week. As part of our ongoing partnership, Calvary has a fresh new way for us to continue this very important and impactful work in the Pontiac area. We began making 200 sandwiches per week and now have transitioned to 300 a week. The Baldwin Center reminded us that being part of this ministry is important, as the sandwich provided might be the only food their clients receive for the day. Serving opportunities are shoppers, meat slicers, sandwich makers, and packers. Calvary PPE protocols, to include facial coverings and social distancing, is currently required. If you're interested, visit calvaryinfo.org to sign up. We are also looking for sponsors to support this new program. Providing 1 week of 300 sandwiches cost approximately $200. To sponsor this effort, click and select Hunger Initiative at calvaryinfo.org. The Handy Ministry. Do you like helping our neighbors with small home repairs and projects? We're looking for people interested in serving as an extension of our partnership with Clarkston Community Church. We are looking for skilled and unskilled labor for small construction and rehab projects in the Clarkston area. Generally, there are multiple projects occurring at the same time, so all levels of help are welcome. If you're interested, please reach out to Pastor Bob at 313-384-9659 or to Russ Milano from Clarkston Community Church at 248-505-9522. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of the Link Together podcast. And until next time, keep making those faith and daily life connections. And remember that you might be the only Bible that some people may ever read.